Here we go. It's hour number one on what is already a very toxic Tuesday. Welcome into the show. We got 4.5 hours flawless for you. General at your service, Addies. There's Brian Bross, former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup Master Control there, 75 and Fitzhugh. He has LA Live coming up 5:40, G Bag of the Day at 2:30, and so much more out of that Pimp Cup every afternoon here on The Fan. You got Woolchuck and Chiafalo here, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Netflix documentary premiering last night. Can we talk about that?
Let's talk about it.
And I'm sure there's going to be lots of content to be had, but just the red carpet interviews were outstanding. And I think what Jerry said was one of the biggest takeaways, how much risk they accepted back then. And he said, and you have success, your appetite for risk diminishes. And I just thought it was incredibly poignant for him to say that as you've once again decided to not invest in your roster, to just kick the can down the road, field a team that you hope that can make the playoffs. When he took over, you know, it was much more aggressive. They went out and got Charles Haley, then ultimately Deion Sanders to give him that third Super Bowl. You know, I think it's just a matter of how much influence Stephen Jones has. That's the biggest difference. You know, to me, Jerry almost looked hopeless. You know, like, I'm trying to convince my son we got to get back into the risk business. Fortune favors the bold. He knows that. Look inside Jerry's eyes last night. He's like, you know, and sometimes the more success you have, the more your appetite for risk gets shortened, you know. And certainly Steven has steered Dad away from some horrible decisions like drafting a Johnny Manziel. You didn't want Joey Galloway for two firsts. You know, there was some bad risks that Jerry needed to be reined back on. But if you think of this like as a pendulum, and with Jerry and Jimmy, it hit the perfect notes between conservative and risky with team building. And then, you know, once Jimmy's gone, Jerry has swung it way too risky. Now Steven's pulled it way too back, no risk. You know, and I that should jump off the screen. You know, how much energy and adrenaline Jerry had back then. It was like a stockbroker, you know, calling the phone and banging away and selling and buying and celebrating and high-fiving, you know, everything. That was like the energy that drove the team to a championship. There was nothing that would deny him. If one thing didn't work, they had to come up with something else. They'd have spent what it takes to make sure the team has success, like Jeffrey Lurie in the Eagles now. So, you know, that was the first thing I saw last night as the red carpet's kicking off and John Machota posted the video. And I'm like, dang, look at Jerry knows this. And I hope he still got it in him, you know, to go nose to nose with his son like he had to in order to get Deion.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Steven's the one that is running the day-to-day operations now. But, yeah, I mean, Jerry still is the tiebreaker vote, as he says. So, I mean, he's got a lot to say. It's just we'll play some of the clips from, like, James Washington and Emmett and some of what Jerry had to say. The big takeaway, like going through an excellent job by Clarence Hill and Joe Hoyt and John Machota and Nick Harris, everyone who was out there covering it, was just like, damn. You listen to the way the players talk about it, and especially, like, are you surprised in the Cowboys' lack of on-field success in the last 30 years? To me, like, the resounding answer was no ever since Jimmy left. And everything you said is 100% true, and anytime you bring up Jerry and Jimmy and the reason why things didn't work out there, it all goes back to credit. Jerry deserves all the credit. He hired Jimmy.
Yeah.
Without Jimmy, there is none of the on-field success that I believe is the reason why that 90s dynasty was built. Jerry is the one who went ahead, hired Jimmy, let him cook, let him draft. Jimmy's the one that went and he's got the trade value chart. He orchestrates the greatest train robbery. He's drafting guys like Tony Tolbert, Mark Stepnoski, and Moose Johnston, and Troy Aikman. And you yell down the list here, Darren Woodson, right? He built that. And then as soon as Jimmy leaves, you don't have that accountability anymore. The culture and the tone setter left. And I do wonder ever since then, because then Jerry was like, well, I'm not getting the credit. I didn't get the credit for the on-field success, which is a shame. He should have. He was the owner of the team. Without putting Jimmy in that position, then you don't have that success. So Jerry should have gotten all of that. And he deserves all the accolades for what he does as a businessman. But ever since then, and him trying to chase that, I need to get the assurance from the public that I am a football guy and I can put together a championship team because of my football and talent level of I can watch and produce this, it's been a failure.
Well, it has, but I think they've gotten so close a number of times that if they would have just spent the money to go get a Charles Haley or a Deion Sanders, I think they could have won in spite of it. Like, Jimmy gave them the championship excellence at key decision-making spots, and it's been gone, but they have gotten back to doing a lot of things well, especially since 2010, and they had chances between 2006 and 2009 with both Parcells and Wade. You know, so I think, yes, from a player's perspective that played with Jimmy and saw the ins and outs of the organization, from your perspective, it's real. Like, once Jimmy walks out that door, no level of failure would surprise me. And he's probably a Jimmy guy, you know, Washington. But I think they've been close enough that if you were just more aggressive, you could win it your way, Jerry. But it's your son saying, oh, no, we can't spend this money. I mean, son didn't even want to bring in Deion. To go ensure that third championship.
And they had to do that.
Son's the engagement farmer that's running this thing like a return on investment business every year.
Yeah, and that might be the second best move Jerry's ever done, is say, no, we're going to get Deion. Because if you don't go and get Deion, then you don't get that third Super Bowl. You don't get that with Barry Switzer. You had to pry Deion away from San Francisco. That was a big reason why you lost to them the year before. But I don't know that you can say that they've been close when you're the only team in this stretch that hasn't even been in an NFC championship game. I mean, what's the definition of close? You got to at least be knocking on the door. They've had some good teams. They've had some good years. And I get what you're saying. Like, maybe you are a little bit more aggressive and you throw some more money at the roster. Maybe. That is a what if that could end up being true. But also some of the gambles they've made, whether it's trading for Roy Williams, you know, certain stuff like that, it's just, those were silly moves, and they were aggressive, but they weren't necessarily smart.
Yeah, no, those were absolutely silly moves, and you know, I think Jerry's aggression has to be checked. It's just been overchecked.
Sure,
like I think son has more power. You know, I do not believe dad's the tiebreaker anymore. You know, I think, you know, maybe he is if it's convenient to Steven.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is, like, post-Jimmy, other than the Parcells stuff, like, you've never really tried to go get the best possible coach available.
Yeah.
And a lot of that goes back to the Jerry or slash just Joneses in general wanting the credit.
Yeah.
They don't want the difference-making head coach that everybody can point to and say, oh, that was a huge difference in the reason why the Cowboys went on to achieve successes that they haven't in forever.
And the great coaches are going to want to do things their way, you know, which creates static.
Yeah.
You know, that creates arguments on a daily basis. And I just don't think Jerry wants to do that. He doesn't want to go through life having to argue with one of his employees about what he wants to do with his football team. And, you know, that's the unfortunate reality of where we are with those things. But as we snap back into present day, we have a practice getting underway today, hour and 45 minutes full contact, 2 hours tomorrow full contact. So I just want to send up a prayer for health here. Okay.
Yeah.
So however you do that, you know, we've actually had a pretty good couple of weeks since we had that flurry. You had like 9 injuries in the first 6 days.
Yeah, you need to get some guys back. That would sure help situation for sure.
And not lose anybody else.
The running backs and stuff like that. Can I circle back real quick on something
Absolutely.
That we were talking about with Jerry?
Yeah.
And I need to figure this out because I think I could get this information from the Players Association.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Cowboys, when they do these contracts, they have to put the amount in an escrow account with the Players Association or with the league. And I wonder, and they've done some pretty significant contracts and the value of it. And I wonder if this is hamstringing them in a way. If you look at Lamb, Prescott, Diggs, Steele, Osa, and Ferguson, say the last 6 contracts, that's $685 million that they've had to put in an account that they have to cover those guaranteed contracts. And I wonder if that's something that's a little bit of if that's a strain on them. And I wonder if that's something that now that they're having to consider, they're going to have to do it the same thing with Micah, get ready. But I wonder if that's something that because they've had to put those contracts all together and they've had to provide the league with, you know, over over $685 million. I wonder if that's something that's kind of weighing on them right now. That yes, they are billionaires and stuff like that, but these teams, you see,
how much is liquid?
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned it, like a Jeff Lurie. Jeff Lurie sells 10% of his team, so he doesn't have to spend $685 million.
Right, and we've seen the Giants trying to. Yeah, this,
and I wonder if this is one of those things. Now they're somewhat being mindful of that. The Parsons contract is going to be huge, but that value when they sign these contracts, you have to put in the same amount of money,
yeah,
with the league in order to make sure these contracts get funded.
Well, you're the Cowboys; you're making the most, you know.
Yeah, I just, taxpayers built you. I wonder if they're a cash poor team in a way. Hmm. I wonder if they and I say cash poor in a way because. You remember when I was talking to you about other outside businesses and stuff that the Rooneys and the Maras and the McCaskies and these guys don't have outside businesses? I just wonder if there's strains on. Yeah, you can go get money, but I believe Jerry could go to the Bank of America and get a line of credit and do whatever he wants to do.
Absolutely.
But I wonder,
look at the hundreds of millions of dollars he's used to buy into oil businesses over the last
decade. That's what I'm saying.
He's taking his profits, and it's like $500 million a year that they profit off running a football team. So he's taking that and buying shares of oil companies instead of buying contracts. So then he's like, well, I don't. If he doesn't have the cash, it's because he took billions of dollars and bought other businesses with
it. It's just a question that
I
have.
No, I think it's a fair question. No,
it's a fair question.
I'm trying to think,
why would Stephen Jones take maybe a conservative approach?
Yeah.
If you every year or every time you do one of these contracts, and they do major contracts, the Dak Prescott is one of the highest ones. CeeDee Lamb's is very significant.
Yeah, there have been big contracts. Yeah.
But the other ones, Diggs, not so much. Steele, not so much. Oso, not so much. Ferguson, not so much. But those first two contracts, just alone right there, that's $376 million that they have to go and make sure they have to cover that.
Well, everybody has to spend the same amount over a five-year period. Like Stephen Jones will tell you that.
Right.
So if they don't have the cash, it's because they're just how they manage it. Just what they're prioritizing.
See, that's what I want to know. I mean, I would love for somebody to explain to me that, like, is this really something that's significant? Is this the reason why we are seeing Jeff Lurie and others sell portions so they don't have to cover that payment they have to make to the NFL to make sure that these contracts are fully funded.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why the Buss family sold the Lakers, because it's becoming really difficult for mom and pops to keep up with hedge fund billionaires. They just don't have the liquid cash to fund those kinds of deals.
Yeah.
But I think if anybody has the means to do it, it would be the Jones family.
Because they've got all the real estate. They've got hospitality.
But we don't know what's successful and what's not successful.
No, we don't.
See, that's the problem. I want to believe that Jerry's oil and gas business stuff is profitable. I want to believe that Legends is profitable for him. I want to believe these things. I don't know
the
that.
The drilling company that he's got.
I mean, Blackstone, I think, is a company or something. Blackstone's not right. That's some big hedge fund.
Like Acroma or something?
But he's got things that he's put hundreds of millions of dollars in, and you wonder at some point in time, even though you're a billionaire, how leveraged are you in certain areas? And I think it's a huge outlay to have to say, I've got to make sure that I have $685 million. Not only I have to pay these guys, pay these contracts, I have to have the same amount at the NFL to fund these contracts. And I'm just trying to kind of figure out why. Why maybe are some things different about how they're operating their football team. That's all.
Well, salute to Rowdy Tellez. He's done it again where he hits the home run, forcing it to extra innings, and then the Rangers win, snatching a victory from the jaws of defeat.
Damn right.
I didn't know. I did not say snacking victory from the jaws of defeat, for crying out loud text. Okay. But, you know, the other thing is he went after us today. So,
yeah, he did.
He was on the AJ Pierzynski podcast.
Foul territory.
NFL territory.
All over MLB Network. blasting in clubhouses throughout the country.
So is this you're right. Yeah, this
so if is Eric, the, you sit on the couch with the Diamondbacks, we're going to be in trouble?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. All
right. I don't think you'll be welcome back next year. I need to apologize to you guys for getting that ball rolling, I guess. If Rowdy Tellez is on the team next year, that might get awkward.
Yeah, it certainly could. But I think we would go in there crotch first. We would shake his hand if he would extend it, and we would make amends. And then we would have a great time for about 5 minutes talking about last night's huge dong that he hit.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Did it sound like he would be open?
No.
To that?
No. No.
It's funny though, because he's okay. Cracking jokes in there. Like
it's okay. I mean, sometimes players, I don't know, dude.
I would like to think Rowdy could let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, I think he called us idiots. I think he called us like, you know, idiots.
Unfunny bleep hole, idiot jack holes kind of thing.
The fact that this happened several weeks ago and it still bothers him.
But it's fueled him. And that's one of the things I would like to address with him. Like
has it fueled him or has it made him like even more upset with us and our station?
He might have locked into the power of the dark side right there.
Yes.
You might have gone full Sith.
Yeah.
He's I'm going to prove these guys wrong.
He's swinging it.
It's kind of like there's other players around this market that we don't have with it that want nothing to do with us, you know?
Well, and some have bigger,
it's just normal,
bigger, more understandable
reasons. It's part of doing the business, man. It's part of doing the business.
Well, they come back from 5 runs down to beat Arizona. That's something I'd like to focus on.
Wyatt Langford finally. I mean, it was about time. The amount of plate appearances without a homer, he goes ahead, gets this thing going. I mean, I went to unload the dishwasher. I come back and it's 6-1. I'm like, good Lord, what the hell is going on? I'm throwing up, and I changed the channel. I got to get my mind off of this for a second. I went back and luckily I put it on right for the Wyatt homer. And I was locked in ever since. Rowdy comes up. Boom. Here we go. 6-6. We go to extras. Oh, what an excellent pitching performance it was in that 10th inning from Phil Maton. His stuff was absolutely filthy. And then thank God they finally got it done with the burger. Burgers for everyone, baby. I hope Rowdy had himself a nice delicious one.
When it got to 6-1.
Be careful, Wolchuk.
Ownership of it.
When it got to like 6-1, I was thinking, gosh, we're going to lose a game that Evaldi's pitching. You know, I'm like, we can't catch a break here.
Yeah.
We're going to lose a game that he was pitching. But
what's more surprising, that they came back and won, or that Wolchuk was lending a hand in the dishes?
Oh, that shouldn't be surprising. I always have done
the comeback.
My wife hates it.
You're a dishman?
Yeah. She's like, I just don't want to do the, I don't want to unload the dishwasher. I'm pretty quick at it.
Which does she hate the most, folding clothes or unloading the dishwasher?
It's the dishwasher. Dishwasher's number one on her hate list.
That's pretty easy for me.
I think so too. I'm like, I'll take it. That's fine.
I might go paper plates if I was you. Paper plates, paper
I'm
bowls.
I'm folding clothes.
We might get to that point.
You know,
with the two girls, with the next baby on the way when they get a little bit older. Yeah, we could end up going
small kids is a lot of laundry.
But if you don't mind dishes.
She handles all the baby laundry, though, so I'm cool with that.
We got the G-Bag of the Day champion on the other side. Then Wolchuk's top 10 at 220. Buddy, what's the subject matter today?
All right, put out a poll, because we've got National Middle Child Day. We've got National Vinyl Record Day. What did the people want? We'll get to that on the other side. That's next in the nation.
Let's go. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the champ here in 2 seconds. Then we got Wolchuk's top 10. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win the Frankels. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today. Carsforkids.org. Into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
This G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 5:30. Replay the champ right about here. You got lucky and caught it, fam.
Congrats.
You should play the lottery today. My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. You can hit me up at Lucky Lucius P if you see anything we should be playing on social media. Boy, this bag is full today, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
This is day two for this champion audio. Go to Cowboys Radio Network. Pre-game with my man Eric Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. My man Eric had a Cowboy sideline reporter Chrissy Scales working overtime.
It has been a moving target, guys, even game day, on who's playing and who's not playing. We thought that going into today that Tyler Booker, the first-round draft pick, would be starting at right guard. But he, you know, he's in uniform, but, you know, not wearing the cleats. He's not taped up and didn't go through warm-up. So no Tyler Booker.
Awesome. And how about for Tyler Booker, Christy?
Yeah, no Tyler Booker. Awesome. So you won't have any of your starters along the offensive line.
Christy, I would like to apologize. I'm clearly in preseason form. Making you repeat yourself is not something that I wanted to do.
No, we clipped
but
that
here
already,
I am.
Christy.
Here I am being an absolute schmo. Night one of the season, and I'm showing my rear end.
Hey, but you took accountability for it, sir.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to.
That's
in times
important.
Like that.
Accountability goes a long way, I think, with people.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. You got to own it. You make a mistake, and it's 100% on you. There's no point in the finger.
100%.
You just got to eat that.
So I see Nicki Minaj apologize. Anything can happen.
Who would have known?
Yeah, she.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, how about
anything
that?
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Looked like her and Dez dapped it up.
They sure did.
Yeah,
she apologized to Dez.
She apologized.
That's awesome.
The good news is I know for sure that that's the last time we're really going to have to hear that.
Yeah, that's about it.
I don't think that one's going past
combo
today.
Platter.
Combo platter.
Honorary five time.
They had a run. Had a good run.
Had a really good
a
run.
Good run, man.
We're gonna put it to bed at 5:30.
Yeah, let's see what happens there in about 3 hours. Time now for Woolchuck's top 10 at 2:20.
All righty, top 10 sports cliches. 877-881-1053. I put out the poll. I put the sports cliches as the third option. The vinyl records and the middle child were the other ones. And people want the sports cliches. I'm not surprised. I've had this one saved for a while now.
Cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful one. Shout out to you,
Stu.
I love Stu. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody. But we've got a lethal Adam Schefter ball sacking that's been taking over the Twitter world today.
Oh, no. Fake Adam Schefter on Twitter.
Man, yeah.
Got?
It's a bad one. This account has gotten people every so often. This one goes viral. And the Schefter account, not Schefter, said after 10 seasons in the NFL, Odell Beckham Jr. decided to retire. And I saw a lot of people running with that. And then you got to look at the spelling of this, okay? Because it's at Adam Schefter, but there's a one and there's no T in there. But Odell has responded. He's not retiring. And for those of you that ran with that, just know you've been ball sacked.
The league has responded, I'm seeing now, saying, well, actually, you have.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to, but no one's going to sign you. So, yeah. Sorry. About that. And shout out to Jimmy Johnson. He has, quote, tweeted some of the trolls in my mention because I put out what I said on air that my biggest takeaway was, hey, the best thing Jerry's done was hiring Jimmy. Somebody said, Zach, Jimmy wouldn't have been anything without Jerry giving him the job in the first place, Jerry giving him unlimited funds to do as he pleased. And what did Jimmy ever do without Jerry in the NFL? Not very much. So Jimmy Johnson clapped back Jimmy, said, quote, playoff three straight years, won two playoff games. Miami hasn't won a playoff game in 24 years since. So stay out of my mentions, bruh.
Ring him up. That's Jimmy jumping in your mentions, mm-hmm. Battling a Jimmy hater.
He's battling the haters. Wow. A lot of haters, man.
That is incredible.
A lot of haters. It's a big day for the G-Bag Nation. You know, that's what we're trying to do here on 105 through the fan. Mama, we made it. We sure did. Evan Carter, by the way, just got sent to an injury rehab assignment in Frisco. He's going to bat second, serve as Frisco's DH tonight against Midland at Riders Field. So you can go out, watch that game. Also, hopefully this is not serious, but Calvin Watkins has put out that Peyton Turner has just gone to the locker room. So Peyton Turner, who also got banged up in that preseason game against the Rams, this has been an issue for him throughout his entire career. He just has not been able to stay healthy. Hopefully nothing serious there. We'll get an update coming up a little bit later on in the show. But let's slide into the top 10, 877-881-1053. The best sports cliches. What are some that you use very, very often? We got some honorable mentions here. It doesn't get any better than this.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
972, you have to keep it simple, stupid.
They just want it more. That's another one.
Oh, that's, yeah.
They just want it more. Yeah. That's a
just means more?
They're gym rats.
Similar? Oh, gym rats? I like that.
Gym rats.
What about we have to outswag them?
We got, oh, the outswag. That's an all-timer right there. Is that Deekman?
I think that was Deekman.
Dykeman?
I think it's Deek.
Deek Dyke?
I tend to think of broadcaster catchphrases like bang or Harlan on LeBron with no regard for human life.
That's a great one.
With some of his, you know, his giant dunks.
They've got ice water in their veins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's
my
a,
favorite.
That's a good one, dude.
Dan Bailey used to have it in his balls.
When you, that's true. That's actually factually
ice
accurate.
In his balls, Bailey.
That is one of those that when that gets, when you get labeled as a guy like that, that's all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly who
cold-blooded.
You want to be. Yeah. Cold-blooded's good.
Students of the game. Was honorable mention.
Student of the game.
You're students of the game.
I think, did somebody say gym rats?
Yeah, gym rats.
Yeah.
They know what it takes to win. Uh-huh. That's another one. They give it 110%.
Oh, yeah.
110%.
That might be the best.
They defy all the odds.
You win as a team, you lose as a team. Mm. That's another honorable mention on here.
Don't know if I've ever heard
about
that one.
It's gut check time.
It's gut check time.
Truth serum game. Eric Chiafalo.
Eric loves that one.
Eric comes up with a different like one every week.
So seven or so of the preseason games. It's a truth serum game.
This is a pack your bags game.
Hey, week one against the Eagles. Truth serum game.
Better bring a lunch pail.
A lunch pail game.
Yeah, it's a lunch pail game.
Hey, lunch pail guy, that's another one.
Yeah.
Right? Quicker than fast.
These are all scouting terms now.
Were there any cliches that you guys just loved growing up? Lucius, did you have any you wanted to throw in here?
Defense wins championships.
Oh, there we go. That's the all-timer right there.
Defense.
And boom goes the dynamite from the 972. That's a classic video. I've referenced that, I think, during the Cowboy game. And some people were like, dude, what the hell? You're getting really excited about like an Izzy McQuamu interception. Like, YouTube the damn video, bro, and you'll get the reference. Best shape of my life from the 920.
Mm.
It is best shape of my life season. It's very true.
We don't lose, we learn. That's a popular one in youth sports.
Okay.
If you're going to fail forward.
Yep.
Shout out.
Tell the parents, don't quit. Cameron. We're learning. We're learning. We're not losing.
We're learning.
Yeah,
we're learning how to lose.
No, trust me.
That L is learn.
I do love the witching hour from the 682.
Oh.
And we're going to get so close. Although I don't think we're going to get the commercial free football anymore.
Well, they're going to be splashing up the little commercial box.
I saw an interview recently.
It's called golf.
Yeah, from Scott Hansen. He's
split screen deal.
He didn't want to be the one to admit, tell everyone, but he was dancing around the fact that we're going to have commercials on Red Zone.
What's his new intro going to be? Like 7 hours of
Hours of nonstop football starts now.
Does it start this year or is this next year we do this?
Well, the transition will be later. Yeah, next year. Yeah. But they're still throwing up. I mean, they sprinkled it in towards the end of last year where they were throwing up little, just like a commercial box while you still got the games on, but everything gets shrunk down so they can show your little 30 second
clip. You're
okay
with the commercials for those, like when they have the late games and it's two games, right? Like the 4 o'clock, the 3 o'clock games, and they're late. And are you okay with commercials for this? They have two games.
That's when they usually look back at the earlier
highlights.
Games and highlights from what took
place.
That's
a fantasy. I don't watch it that much, so I wouldn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just check out your who are the top 10 fantasy scorers of the day.
I think I got number one, Wolchuk.
What's number one?
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Hats off to him.
Hats
off to him at the end of
gotta
the day.
Got
to
give him credit.
Yeah. They pay their players too.
Yeah. Got to give him credit.
Numbered pastry chef Eric with Left It All on the Field.
Left It All on the Field is a great one. Top five. If you're not first, you're last, Ricky Bobby. Number 10 is their blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh, that's
sports cliche.
Yeah.
9, we've got they do things that don't show up in the stat column.
Oh,
lunch pail guys.
There you go.
Yeah,
glue guys.
It's like a quiet practice.
Yeah. Quiet practice.
Hey, the guy did nothing, but
yeah, quiet
we're
practice.
Acknowledging he's
not a scrub.
Doing his job.
There's all these little things.
8, they do all the little things. There you go.
Did we already say one game at a time?
No.
Our iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Go.
Big one.
Yeah, that's really good.
Where
right
my
there.
Feet are. That's another one that the Cowboys are saying.
That's a new
on.
One. Yeah.
You know.
Chip on my shoulder. Yeah, chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Chip on the shoulder guy.
Yeah.
7 is they brought their A game today.
Oh, jeez. Couldn't do anything about it.
6 is they have unbelievable chemistry. Can't teach anything. You can't coach that. 5 is they're the first one in the building and the last one out.
Yeah.
Heard that one a lot.
That's a good one.
Shoot, that was a good one. Can't coach chemistry.
Yeah. 4 is throw under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
3 is they're all on the same page. Everyone's on the same
page.
Even though, like, that's no one. No, you're not. 2, they're all heart. All heart right there. But number 1, best sports cliche, there's no I in team.
No I in team.
That's a total staple.
No I in team.
And those are some good ones. Thank you, Wolchuk. Mm-hmm. Top 10 at 220 is in the books once again.
What about Jim Harbaugh's? It's not an offense. It's not a defense. It's a
wee fence.
It's a wee fence.
I love Jim trying to get philosophical. It's classic.
Yeah, does that just really make you think of a little fence?
Yeah.
Like tiny fence?
Yeah, just it's a fence. Wee little fence.
All right, it's the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. Now, what are we doing next, Chief?
Make sure you clear your calendar for this day on the college football slate, plus John Mateer, OU quarterback. This can't be real. Next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Very eventful day for us here in the nation. And Chief has a sports hodgepodge for you.
It's been an eventful day in college football, especially in Norman, Oklahoma, where one minute John Mateer is studying a playbook, the next his name is tied to a gambling rumor that is truly too absurd to even believe. Now, he is absolutely denying this. It started on Monday night, and it was someone on social media posted screenshots of what appeared to be the Venmo account of Sooners quarterback John Mateer. He transferred this offseason to Oklahoma from Wazoo. And to make matters worse, the descriptions used for his transactions included the term sports gambling. And it also described paying off a bet for UCLA versus USC a couple of years ago. Now, that ended up being a pretty incredible game. Right, Wolchuk? That was...
It was a fantastic game as I turned my mic on. Yeah, USC and UCLA went down to the wire in that one. And like to me, when it comes to some of these players, I know it's against the rules. If you're not betting on your own game, I don't really care.
Listen, ultimately, I am with you. I think this is really much to do about nothing, but the rules are the rules. And so if this ends up being proven to be true, then he is going to be in some trouble. I'm guessing this is like a TCU furry allegation. You know, I think this is, we're doctoring screenshots, we're doing weird things, but he's actually come out and said, like, the allegations that I once participated in sports gambling are false. My previous Venmo descriptions did not accurately portray the transactions in question, but were instead inside jokes, he's calling them, between him and his friends. Says he's never bet on sports, anything like that. This is all being taken
out of context. And I could totally get that. I see that, you know, like every time I do something on Venmo, it's for pizza or gas, you know, and I'm sending money to people for all sorts of reasons, you know. So I think it's annoying to have to note it. It's just, it's the detail, you know, it's the detail of being one specific game that seems weird. I don't even know why you would write sports gambling in there.
That is so strange.
And that apparently is the inside joke.
That's the inside
that
joke.
He's alleging.
Seems
like a great
that?
Joke, man.
I think you're going to have to loop the public in on what the inside joke is so we can maybe laugh along with you for people to believe him. I don't think it's a big deal. You know, if you're betting on other teams' games and there was no integrity violation, like this shouldn't be career ending or getting kicked out of school or anything. It's good that we're living in a new era where, you know, players don't have their careers on the line as long as they're not like throwing a game they're actively in. But it's not a good look. I'm going to chalk it up to him being a young idiot, you know, because one way or another, that's what this is.
Yes, yes, it absolutely is. I don't think that is overly heinous or gets into the weeds on throwing games or anything like that. It is just a really, really stupid thing to do. And I don't know how this is all going to go. I don't know how provable it actually all is, because if it's just between him and his buddy on a Venmo, it's not like you can go see on some bookie website that he was getting in the mix on this, right?
Yeah.
It's just between him and a buddy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. They're investigating it. So we'll get some level of answers on this, but definitely not the way he wanted to kick off his Sooner tenure. I'm excited about the Sooners this year as well, and he's a huge reason why. And I'll tell you what.
It does sound like it's probably his weed guy. Let me just say that, because you're sending $200 to $400 to $500 back and forth in sports gambling. You know, if you're paranoid dealer guy, you're like, yeah, just say we're gambling back and forth, bro.
Yeah, what should you put in the comments if you're getting it from your weed guy?
Right?
Do you put beers?
I don't know.
Bar tab.
Pizza.
Red panties.
Pizza. Red panties. Red pizza. Panties. Yeah, pizza's pretty good.
That's what I would send to Eric.
Gas.
Gas. Yeah.
There you go. Hiding in plain sight with the there gas.
I like that one. For gas.
Yeah, I need to see what the actual, I think it was $50
And it was a teammate.
He was sending it to a John Mateer paid Dick Roten is who he
sure and was Roten doing his... ended up being like a Washington State teammate of his is what they've gone back and done research. But who knows? He could have also been the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, Washington is a recreational state. So maybe.
Oh, true.
Something a little harder.
Well, it's worked for him, man. It's been like a PED because he was putting up numbers last year at Wazoo. And hopefully he will be on the field for the Sooners this year and putting up some big numbers. Somebody screenshotted the dead president's picks on Twitter. Cancel all plans on November 1st. Clear the sked, boys. This is what we have cooking right now. On Saturday, November 1, we have Penn State, Ohio State. That's 2v3.
Big noon.
But
that game always...
The Buckeyes are going to win it.
They hype it, and it turns out that Penn State loses by 13.
Sure. It's going to be a good one.
Walchuk has brought us poo-pooing on the...
I'm just saying...
Number two versus number freaking three in what is supposed to be the new big conference in all of college football?
It'll be an 8-0 Penn State team pooping down their legs with James Franklin at the helm.
I don't disagree with you, but we're still going to be plugged in and watching.
When's the last big game that James Franklin has won like this?
Are you kidding me? SMU and the college football playoff?
That was a big one, wasn't it?
Boise State?
Huge.
Big?
Prominent programs that he took down.
Agree with you, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of SMU, you have Miami coming to town right here, taking on SMU.
Florida State came here last year. It's a good turnout.
Yeah, I guarantee you this will be another packed house for sure. That's number 10 versus number 16 as it stands right now. You have 11 versus 22, Arizona State, Iowa State. You have 13 versus 21, South Carolina and the Gamecocks taking on Ole Miss. You have Texas Tech, K-State. Those are top 25 teams.
Rag 'em.
Oklahoma, Tennessee. That's the Carter Freeman versus RJ Choppy. And at some point, they will unveil the on-air, the bet that they have.
This game will be played in Knoxville, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
And then you also have Georgia and Florida.
Oh, the greatest outdoor cocktail party.
Absolutely.
Texas playing Vandy, too. Get Diego Pavia.
Okay.
Is he going to pull an upset? Knock off the number one team of the country.
They
did it to Alabama.
They tried. I mean, they had Texas a little bit on the ropes in the first quarter of that game last year.
I wonder if that's the game Sean's going to go to.
Pavia is using the words national championship in sentences to the media, which is the first of its kind in Vanderbilt. Okay.
In debate.
On this day.
That's 100% fact.
On this day, 10 years ago in college football.
Doctors.
You had. Graduation. What was then the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, meeting with the media post-practice. Mm. And this...
Shirtless?
Is the sound. No.
Have you ever seen him? He'll go out there and practice shirtless when he's in Florida.
Wearing nothing but his visor?
Yeah, nothing but the visor, throwing it around. No shirt. And
some khakis?
Yeah. Got the shorts on, got the shirt tucked in the back of the pants and just tossing the ball around.
I love that. Well, here he was ripping his team after practice.
Another sorry practice today. These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year. Quarterbacks, they can't hit the broad side of a barn right now. I don't know if we could hit that indoor facility right there. Receivers, they couldn't catch a cold if it was the middle of February, dropping everything. Defensive backs, gosh, I wonder why they got grass stains all over their jerseys. They fall about every play. About two or three of them are falling. And our kickers, it's like the army. Left, right. They're kicking it all over the place. I don't know if we can beat anybody this year. Guys, and leadership? No, we don't have any leaders out here. Guys are soft. They just can't. I don't know. Maybe I ought to give them a week off and start over and see if we can regroup and find some real, real tough guys out here. But it's been a struggle this preseason. It's been a big struggle, man. I don't know how we're going to be. Have you ever heard a coach say that?
So he's just like being super tongue-in-cheek about his team. Like, he's just doing
watch
bits.
This. Watch what I'm about to do.
Doing bits to the media. The old ball coach getting it done. And
Lou Holtz was the worst. You ever heard Lou Holtz do this?
I've heard him spit quite a bit.
Like they'd beaten Army like 40 straight years or Navy 40 straight years. This is one of the best Navy football teams I've ever seen. You know, it was always that.
Talking up the opponent.
Beat him 40 straight years. You know, come on, man. Always coach speak stuff. Take it away.
Speaking of winning a lot in a period of time, I would like to introduce you fellas to Corey Bellamore, Canada's now 5-time beer mile goat.
Nice.
I was going to use him in the Friday name, Corey Bellamore.
Oh, were you really?
I was going to use him.
Yeah, we had a Friday name game. You guys missed out on that.
Well, I think me and Lucius tore it up pretty good. I feel like that was one of our better
efforts. They got a little rhythm. Yeah, they figured me out, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Gotcha. Gotcha pig.
This dude, okay, so it's got to be 12 ounces of beer after each lap, and it's got to be a beer that's at least 5% ABV. But otherwise, you know, choose your own beer, so to speak.
What's like a Mick Ultra, by the way?
I think that's right at about 5.
Is that?
I think so.
I could have probably looked that up, but I thought standard. Maybe when you guys knew that off the top of your head.
No. 4.2.
4.2?
Is it the lightest of the beers?
Might be.
Yeah.
I feel like I could drink a million of those.
Yeah, the summer, everybody's trying to watch their figure.
Sure.
A lot of Michelob getting floated around.
Budweiser, I can't drink one, even though I drank 27 of them at the parade.
4 minutes and 27 seconds for the beer mile. It's a world record.
What?
Is what he just did.
Incredible. Oh, and he must be one of those guys who can just insta-chug it.
Yeah. He kind of went into detail a little bit by just saying, like, from a young age, I was always, he's clearly, like, been a runner forever.
Sure.
And he's like, I was always used to just, anytime I would have my water, my Gatorade, whatever, during my runs, I was just a big-time chugger of it. Like, he wasn't sipping on that kind of stuff. So he was like, the beer is just really super easy for him to do it. He's got the chug stuff down, and then he's clearly an elite marathoner, if you will. And so his mile is very fast, even if you just don't even include the beer chugging. 4 minutes and 27 seconds is unbelievable, but now he's 5 times running, and he's got the world record in the beer mile. So kudos to this guy.
So what's 3:43 is the current mile record. This is like, what, 30 seconds faster, slamming 4 beers?
It's amazing. Yeah, well, okay, so he's 4:27. This guy, the beer mile,
so 40 seconds faster, about.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Super impressive, right?
Yeah.
And then also there's a new thing going on with the endurance athletes. Guess what they're using as food for fuel?
That's less than 10 seconds for full slowdown and chug, you know?
Yeah.
How is this happening? I don't know.
I don't know. It is
just a savage.
It is really incredible.
What's his time without beer in?
Yeah, I would think sub 4.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Joey Jaws of beer chugs. But apparently, this is Dawson's favorite food.
Yeah, Rice Krispie treats are the new Uncrustables for the endurance athletes.
Okay,
apparently, like all these
the rice content.
There's something about the rice, the sugar. You can pocket those things, like the pocket pancake we saw in Milwaukee the other
day. Wrap them in cellophane, you're good to go.
Yeah, so these guys are just running, men and women. They're talking about it. I mean, Tour de France, whatever it is. These endurance athletes. The Rice Krispie treats are flying off the shelves.
Now, you definitely want homemade or deli made. You want to stay away from the Rice Krispie branded ones in the toy section or the candy section. Although, if you get the new ones that are dipped in this peanut butter stuff,
Nutella?
Pretty good.
Okay.
The peanut butter Rice Krispie treat, pretty dang good. But, I mean, your mom made homemade Rice Krispie treats, right?
Yeah. They're phenomenal. Like,
they're fun to make.
But to me, the ones in the blue little packaging are still, like, absolutely to die for, delicious. Like, I'm going to
tell your mom you said that.
I truly love those. I like the homemade ones, but that's the thing is when they're
ones better?
I do. I don't know that I like them better.
They got a weird chemical taste in there, bro.
I have a ton of respect for them. Taste, I'm not going to lie.
It's one of my favorite chemicals.
A little of that aluminum. Woo, it gets me going.
I mean, the real butter, the marshmallows.
Homemade cheddar.
It hits when they're homemade.
I don't know, man.
The store-bought ones, I think... I was so brainwashed into thinking Rice Krispie treats were elite. I was sawing through those for a good portion of my adult life, but one day I just like stopped mid-bite and said, wait, I don't even think I like this flavor. I swear to God.
Stopped you dead bowls.
Is anybody with me on this?
I hate marshmallows guy.
Yeah, I mean, marshmallows aren't that good. You know, marshmallows are kind of
overrated. But when they're melted.
You got to char them, you know, or nice melt them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's part of Rice Krispie treats. It's like, if you look at how they're made, it's the butter, it's the marshmallows.
You're adding some sugar in there, right?
And it's the 6 cups of Kellogg's Rice Krispie cereal that you're actually...
I crushed one at the hotel in Oxnard.
Okay, we got top stories today. Cowboys practice is going on. Shoddy had a presser, so there's a lot of updated Cowboy stuff to talk about. We're coming back with it and more here to the G-Bag Nation, the fan.